Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel, March the 19th, 2022. A lot of subjects to talk about today, folks. There's a lot of distractions going on around the world. And as those distractions take place, there are those working behind the scenes to accelerate the process for a one world government. Not only is the WHO working on a global vaccine passport system, they are also working on getting countries to sign a treaty for a pandemic preparedness response. In almost every Western country, they have emergency laws where if there is a big enough threat, the constitution of that country can be suspended. The WHO wants countries to sign a treaty where if there is an emergency, international emergency, the WHO, which remember is funded by scumbags like Bill Gates, they can have their own set of laws and rules that countries must adopt if there is another plandemic or any international emergency there is. If countries sign this treaty and agree to this globalist agenda, it means that a global emergency requires a global solution. So countries must adopt the regulatory process of these international health organizations, which supersedes your own country's constitution. Your rights and freedoms suspended over a global health emergency that they themselves manufactured. Now, is there a democratic process in which we get to decide if we want this new global system? Of course not. The people in charge are already compromised, right? They're puppets and agents of the globalist corporations like the World Economic Forum, which is directly linked to the World Health Organization, as you can see on the WEF's website. Here you go, folks. WHO on the World Economic Forum's website here. You go through this article. It is just wild. We have something over here that says, why vaccination access is essential for ending COVID-19 and ensuring the global recovery. Just look at some of this stuff here. World Health Organization contributors. Here are the three globalist scumbags. These are compromised agents as well. You know, you go through it and just see that they're all working together. They're trying their hardest to bring forth this global governance. Every single thing we see happening around the world is them accelerating that process. See, the level of brainwashing that has taken place over this pandemic has me convinced that if there was a major vote in which people can decide whether or not they want a global vaccine passport, digital ID tied into your own social credit score, technocratic slavery system, the majority of people would most likely vote yes. I mean, this is what I see now. I go through the comments and I'm like, these people are psychotic. They don't want to enter a plane if they know people are unvaccinated around them. I mean, what the hell are, like, what kind of news are they even consuming at this point? They are in a cult and it has nothing to do with science. The militarized propaganda has people terrified of one another, and the idea of never-ending viruses and variants have them in a constant state of fear. Well, the governments can now offer them a solution to their free-floating, crippling anxiety, a global vaccine passport system. Everything that is happening around the world is done to make people more polarized. People are becoming more polarized and going to the extremes now. The scum in charge have successfully divided the people. If someone is in full support for Ukraine and wants Putin dead, you can safely assume they are also in full support of vaccine passports, mask mandates, BLM, Antifa, and you can also assume where they stand on free speech and gun rights. Not all the people, but most of them, because they are NPCs programmed by mainstream news networks. Those in charge can then collect more data on the people to see who is obedient and who is going to be a major problem when this new system is implemented. Social media was invented to learn more about people because people just post all their private information and thoughts and ideas about every subject for the CIA to collect more data about you and know what kind of person you are. Remember, the same day Facebook was created, the Pentagon killed their LifeLog project. So Pentagon kills LifeLog project. What is that LifeLog project about? Well, the Pentagon canceled its so-called LifeLog project, an ambitious effort to build a database tracking a person's entire existence. Run by DARPA, the Defense Department's research arm, LifeLog aimed to gather in a single place just about everything an individual says, sees, or does. The phone calls made, the TV shows watched, the magazines read. Run by DARPA, the Defense Department's research arm, LifeLog aimed to gather in a single place just about everything an individual says, sees, or does. Out of this seamlessly endless ocean of information, computer scientists would plot distinctive routes in the data, mapping relationships, memories, events, and experiences. What does that sound like, folks? LifeLog's backers said the all-encompassing diary could have turned into a near-perfect digital memory, giving its users computerized assistance with an almost flawless recall of what they have done in the past. But civil libertarians immediately pounced on the project when it debuted last spring, arguing that LifeLog could become the ultimate tool for profiling potential enemies of the state. Would you look at that? And of course, because people pounced on that and said, wait, you're going to use this against us, aren't you? Here's Howard Schrobe. Obviously, we're quite disappointed, he said, who led a team from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, which spent weeks preparing a bid for a LifeLog contract. We were very interested in the research focus of the program, how to help a person capture and organize his or her experience. This is a theme with great importance to both AI and cognitive science. And it carries on to say, look at this last sentence here, said by David Karger, Schrobe's colleague at MIT, thinks such efforts will still go on at DARPA too. I am sure that such research will continue to be funded under some other title, wrote Karger in an email. I can't imagine DARPA dropping out of such a key research area. And when did they stop this LifeLog project? Pentagon kills LifeLog project February 4th, 2004. That is the same day Facebook launches. 2004, February 4th. Right here on this day in history on History.com. You can't make this up. A Harvard sophomore named Mark Zuckerberg launches the Facebook, a social media website he had built in order to connect Harvard students with one another. By the next day, over 1,000 people had registered, and that was only beginning. Now known simply as Facebook, the site quickly ballooned into one of the most significant social media companies in the world. Now it has over 2 billion monthly active users. Interesting where they wanted to design some sort of database to get all of people to sign on to, and they wanted originally to just hack in and find this information about you, but it's interesting how they can create a social media platform where people willingly give this information up. Here's all of my thoughts on all political stuff taking place, my thoughts on what's happening around the world, my political leanings, what I think about the president, what I think about left wing, right wing, all of it. People post everything on there now. The CIA has their dream LifeLog project in full effect. The same day they stopped it, they launched Facebook. And you just can't make this up, folks. This is going to be perfect for the social credit score and the digital ID. Remember, you need your digital ID to create a Facebook or Twitter account now, and their social credit score is going to be linked to that, and your digital currency is going to be linked to that. What could go wrong, right? Global problems require global solutions. This is the theme of the 21st century, and every manufactured emergency brings us closer to global governance. Now, what would that global governance look like? Well, here's an audience member asking Yuval Noah Harari that same question. I'm sure all of you have heard of Yuval Noah Harari, someone that talks about hacking humans and humans don't have souls. Humans are also going to be replaced by robots, so something needs to be done soon to help that issue out. So here's Noah being asked that question in this video.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to have some kind of global governance, what makes you think that it would end up being more like Denmark rather than more like Russia or Honduras? And aren't there alternatives, such as we did with CFCs? I mean, there are ways to solve global problems with national governments. What would world government actually look like, and why do you think it would work?
Well, I don't know how it would look like. Nobody still has a model for that. The main reason we need it is because many of these issues are lose-lose situations. I mean, when you have a win-win situation like trade, both sides can benefit from a trade agreement, then this is something you can work out without some kind of global government. National governments each has an interest in doing it. But when you have a lose-lose situation, like with climate change, it's much more difficult without some overarching authority, real authority. Now, how to get there and how would it look like, I don't know. And certainly there is no obvious reason to think that it would look like Denmark or that it would be a democracy. Most likely it wouldn't. We don't have workable democratic models for a global government. So maybe it would look more like ancient China than like modern Denmark.
But still,
given the dangers that we are facing, I think the imperative of having some kind of real ability to force through difficult decisions on the global level is more important than almost anything else.
So that is very interesting how he brought up climate change. Global emergencies require global solutions, and there's no way to solve something like climate change without global governance. One world government. In a lot of these videos, Yuval is promoting this one world government, and he's promoting it because he's saying global emergencies can't be fixed. It's impossible to fix something like pandemics or climate change without that global governance. And what would it look like? Would it be democratic? Would the people on top be benevolent? He himself admits that that wouldn't be the case. If there was a one world government, it would look more like ancient China. Wild stuff here, people. So like I said, it's interesting that Yuval uses climate change, a non-existent global threat backed by zero science, just like COVID, to usher in a global governance. He doesn't know what it would look like, but says most likely it would look something like ancient China. In the same interview, he talks about digital dictatorship and how humans might eventually be enslaved by the AI algorithms that they create.
No doubt the new technologies will empower the human collective. But we may end up again with a tiny elite reaping all the benefits, taking all the fruits, and the masses of the population finding themselves worse than they were before. Certainly much worse than this tiny elite.
And those elites might not even be human elites. They might be cyborgs.
Yeah, they could be enhanced superhumans. They could be cyborgs. They could be completely non-organic elites. They could even be non-conscious algorithms. What we see now in the world is authority shifting away from humans to algorithms. More and more decisions about personal lives, about economic matters, about political matters is actually being taken by algorithms. If you ask the bank for a loan, chances are your fate is decided by an algorithm, not by a human being. And the general impression is that maybe Homo sapiens just lost it. The world is so complicated. There is so much data. Things are changing so fast that this thing that evolved on the African savanna tens of thousands of years ago to cope with a particular environment, a particular volume of information and data, it just can't handle the realities of the 21st century. And the only thing that may be able to handle it is big data algorithms. So no wonder that more and more authority is shifting from us to the algorithms.
Life is getting very complicated, and humans themselves cannot solve these problems. Not only should there be a one world government, but maybe humans shouldn't even be the ones to have the authority over other humans. Maybe it should be advanced AI algorithms and some futuristic robots that do it. I don't know what exactly is going to take place here. We've heard some wild stuff come out of Yuval's mouth, but like I said, now this biometric data collecting and 24/7 surveillance is being done in Israel's West Bank, and it is the first of its kind. On the World Economic Forum stage, Yuval was asked about this new digital surveillance system here.
What somebody is really trying to hack is this, not this.
Right. I mean, China is interesting because I remember sitting at a table a few years ago in Davos with a senior Chinese official and we were arguing about democracy, and he said, well, you in the West have democracy, we have social media. And the point was that Chinese government is using social media to not just monitor its citizens, but also act as a weather vane to gather information about what's happening in terms of public sentiment and ensure that they stay one inch ahead of that to stop any explosions. Mm-hmm. Do you see China as a place where this type of digital dictatorship is most likely to emerge?
Well, I don't know. As I gave examples, you have cases in the West and I know maybe best about my own country, that Israel is building a real total surveillance regime in the West Bank, which is something we haven't seen anywhere, almost anywhere in history before, of really trying to follow every place, every individual.
Wow.
And we still haven't crossed the critical watershed of the biometric sensor. Whether it's in the US, in Israel, in China, it's still social media. It's still my mobile phone. It's still where I go, what use I make of my credit card. We still don't really have the technology to go inside, but we are maybe 5 years, 10 years away from having the technology. So maybe to give an extreme example, let's say you live in North Korea, and you have to wear this bracelet, which constantly monitors what is happening inside your body. And you walk into a room, and you see the picture of the dear leader on the wall, and the bracelet can know what is happening to your brain, to your blood pressure, as you see this picture. So this really what is meant by a digital dictatorship.
I mean, it makes 1984 sound positively...
Child's play.
Child's play, yeah. Exactly.
Look at that. I mean, the same people in this World Economic Forum have been discussing how they can track and trace every human on Earth. And I think that they got what they wanted. I think they found technology they can inject in people. And they've been discussing this for years. And there's also published articles in academia talking about how they can inject people with whatever they want to. And can they justify covertly injecting you with anything they want if it's beneficial for society, if it's beneficial for the environment? And I think they made their decision. This was in World Economic Forum speech Yuval did in 2018. Yuval carries on to say how nations are fictional, and that only a major catastrophe can finally bring people together into accepting globalism.
One option that some people talk about is that only a catastrophe can shake humankind and open the path to a real system of global governance. And they say that we can't do it before the catastrophe, but we need to start laying the foundations so that when the disaster strike, we can react quickly. But people will just not have the motivation to do such a thing before the disaster strikes. Another thing that I would emphasize is that anybody who is really interested in global governance should always make it very, very clear that it doesn't replace or abolish local identities and communities. That it should come both at the same, it should be part of a single package.
That's quite interesting. It's like, don't worry, you can still have your nation's identity. It's just going to be a global governance authority done by advanced AI algorithms that's going to look something like ancient China. I mean, this is just wild, but people, this is really taking place. And like he said, this was in 2017. He was talking about a major catastrophe that needed to happen for people to finally accept this global governance, because people generally won't accept it. And now we hear WHO is trying to have all these countries around the world sign this treaty to override that country's constitution in case a global emergency happens. This is very interesting. He said that they need to lay out the groundwork right now. The foundation needs to begin. And I think we're watching it take place. I mean, what did Yuval say, ladies and gentlemen? He said, allow me to introduce Klaus Schwab's top advisor, Professor Yuval Noah Harari. Humans are now hackable animals. The whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and nobody knows what's happening inside them and they have free will, that's over. You ask yourself, what kind of person would say something like that?
All this idea of fake news and post-truth, he famously say that if you repeat a lie often enough, people will think it's the truth, and the bigger the lie, the better. Mm. Because people won't even think that, something so big can be a lie. And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible.
That kind of person. So biohacking humans has been discussed for years. Ex-CIA agent was giving a speech talking about this. very interesting stuff that they've been discussing and testing this technology for years, people. An ex-CIA worker touches on revolutionary breakthroughs in the underground world of biohacking and how this could be potentially great or disastrous, depending on who's wielding the knowledge. The World Economic Forum has this technology now of biohacking, CRISPR tech, and they are using it because humans, like Yuval says in multiple speeches, are going to be replaced by robots. Something needs to be done soon because billions will be out of a job. And also, there needs to be global governance, but that can't take place unless a major worldwide catastrophe happens. All of it is coming together. So as you take a look at what's happening around the world, you notice that these things are happening. Economies are going to collapse. All of it is manufactured. Russia, Ukraine, pandemic right before. It's going to happen one thing after the other. And all of it is done only to break down civilization, collapse economies, collapse the dollar so they can usher in global governance, digital ID, digital currency. It's going to be global, worldwide. WHO is trying to get countries to sign a treaty to override their own constitutions. It's happening, folks. And here, I want you to listen to what this ex-CIA worker says about biohacking. This video is very interesting. I might play the whole thing.
So what I would like to talk to you a little bit about today is something I was asked to do in 2010 and 2011. I was getting ready to leave over at the CIA where I'd worked for a number of years, and the Intelligence Science Board said, could you give us a brief on what's in store for us in the future? And it was some information I think some people didn't know, and I think it's good for people to be aware of what's going on out there.
That game was Cyberpunk, by the way.
Can you actually send and receive sensory information, like the Matrix? The short answer is yes.
Wow.
What we do know is that DARPA did get permission for 500 operations to do deep brain electrode implants. They haven't published anything yet, but my guess is what you're looking at is human-human thought transference, and certainly in the open science world, that was published last month, actually, the brain-to-brain transfer of sensory information in two humans, and they achieved a success rate of being right 85% of the time. So you can attach one human brain to a device. You can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. So that's what people are doing. There's a whole world out there of biohacking. I don't know if you're aware of it, but you should be. So normally at the university, we are well regulated by the federal laws about studying and experimenting on humans. There's a biohacking community that is not part of the official science community that is busy trying to attach hardware to humans, and they do it in their basements. They study up on how to do the surgeries, how to connect devices, how to put motherboards in people. And they may use it for some purposes like phishing, using RFID signals in their hands to take information from you. But there are some other interesting developments. When you start thinking about the fluidity of what you can do with the brain, they're experimenting with CE6 and giving people with eye drops night vision for several hours. A person receiving the night drops can see over 160 feet in the dark. So it's a lot easier to look through your own eyes than it is to put on nods. And it will be a short time before you get a better solution than we get from the biohacking community, but it could also be readily available to almost anybody on the planet. It's going to be harder to keep this under control than it is to keep the special lenses and night vision technology. I think it's really important that people pay attention to this kind of thing, because that can give humans the natural ability for a while to see in the dark. So people are playing with chemicals to enhance the human capacity. They're also experimenting now with how do you add a device to the mammalian brain to give it an extrasensory ability. You may not want to detect infrared. You might want to have a room temperature detector of radiation, depending on what your job is in life. So when you think about it, the possibility now is there to develop different kinds of devices. They could be perhaps used either by intelligence people or by people in the military to have an extra ability to be able to see through walls, to see heartbeats. We used to play with the 18 gigahertz microwave detectors where we could pick up heartbeats through anything but solid steel and water, but that could easily be a human who can see the unique heartbeat that's behind the wall over there that's thermal insensitive. So it doesn't have to be IR. It can be a number of things. Anything that you can co-opt is theoretically now possible to adapt to human brain functioning. All you'd have to learn is the code. You'd have to train with it. It might not be natural at first. You might not understand the signal you're getting, but you can add to human brain function. You could also use it to intercept signals. The experiment that was just released this last month, as I said, demonstrated that people could transfer knowledge from one human to another. And I commented to a couple of my colleagues, and I said, I think right now the most direct application of that is going to be either covert communication or running drones. The set of experiments, I didn't have videos to show you, but there have been a series that have shown you can connect the human brain to a rat and control its motor movement and its tail. So you can have non-human animal drones. You can have the human brain probably run a regular drone at this point, but running a non-human drone, something like a cockroach or a rat, would it be awesome? And now if you were watching the Olympics and you see the coordinated maze of drones, the software is now really readily available where you could have hordes of little creatures that can gain access to facilities or move around in different places, all run by a person sitting in a booth. It's no more technically challenging once you do that than figuring out the logistics of how you're going to send your signal somewhere else in the world and how to protect that signal. But that's now. That's not in the future. So as you begin to think what's in 5 years, the interfaces are going to become more delicate, more refined. And as transcranial magnetic stimulation, it's a rather crude instrument right now. It creates a field that excites just hordes of neurons. But as they refine the technology so you can get a better point specificity to the neurons you actually want to activate, you should be able to do this without penetrating the skull. Either someone could wear a cap, and in fact, that's how the latest brain-to-brain communication in humans was done. It was done without surgery and actually signaling via some stimulation to the retina and the brain decoding it. Although the person consciously didn't know what the code was, the brain did. So that I would recommend people becoming aware of that from the human drone technology standpoint. The second field that people may or may not be aware of I always tell my students, I said I wasn't around when they developed atomic weapons, but Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell back in 2010. I don't know if people are familiar with his work, but this technology paired with something called CRISPR, which is like an editing software for genes, makes a number of things immediately available. What he did is he programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. They can produce perfume, they can produce petroleum, they can produce any peptide, anything we program the DNA to do, and it's in the living cell. Right, so in medicine, the goal in medicine now is to be able to do designer medicine and therapy. If we can design a cell to get into your body and release the right product for you, you won't be losing half the drugs you take through your liver when you swallow a pill and it gets digested. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles, almost like Dr. McCoy on Star Trek, giving you the hyperspray. It just blasts now plasmids into your squamous cells. But Ventnor was able to do that and has the patent on the technology. But you can engineer anything. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. For those of you who don't know, your DNA is usually all wrapped up in tight little coils. And so what you were doing was when they create plasmids and put them into cells, it sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Now, this is the future of medicine. When you look at this technology in medicine and say, this is going to be done to help people, right? We want to be able to give them medicines. We actually want to correct for genetic deficits. If a kid's born with a genetic anomaly, with the CRISPR technology, the feeling is we can create the portion of the gene they're missing and go have it spliced back in. And that may help a child, either if it's in utero development or once they're older, to have the missing substance actively produced. What would you do with this if you were in security and intelligence? Well, you can do a number of things. You could decide if you make this gene, we know that certain people in the world who function at very high altitudes very, very well do it because they had a special mutation in their genome that we don't have because we didn't grow up in the Himalayas. But they can function at very high altitudes. Could you give this to people who are going to have to do war fighting in high altitudes and they don't require extra support? Their body makes a much more efficient use and can work under conditions of lower oxygen than the rest of us. Mm. You start letting your mind wander. Can it also produce a substance that lets you function longer underwater without oxygen? So, but these are run by certain mutations in genes, and with CRISPR, we have the ability to actually make these and see what happens when we give them to animals, non-human or human animals, that don't have it naturally. You could have the Forrest Gump gene. You guys have been tracking. There's a gene that just makes you stronger. Related to this is an idea called DREADs. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. So think about it for a moment. You can create a designer receptor, you can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it when the brain's exposed to the right signal. Using this technology, people have been able to transfer memories from one fruit fly to another by signaling through a light stimulus into the retina. Right now, in most animals, it's done by putting a substance into their body that will actually activate the neuron in the way that you want it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. So in medicine, we think about how we do that to help people, how we do to repair deficits. Other people are going to think about how do they do it to expand possibilities. Now, one of the challenges that we have is that when you create a cell and you put it in somebody's body, you have to figure out where you want it. What if you want it in their brain, right? If you want it in their brain and you can't figure out, you don't want to do surgery to plant it in their brain, if I want a product produced in your brain that may affect the way you think, the way you act, one route to that is through stem cells. If you're a quick brush up on your biology, stem cells are cells, they call them God cells. They can turn into anything. They hold the potential, unlike other cells in your body, to become anything you want them to become. And they can go find their home in the body and park there and do the work that you'd like them to do. You can infuse them and they will find their way into the brain. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains.
That was very interesting. I mean, having your body produce anything they want by directing your cells to produce that foreign substance. It's mind-boggling that they have this technology. They've worked on it for decades now. Directing your cells to produce something like petroleum, something like cyanide if they wanted to. And now they admit they have injected people with mRNA technology that directs your cells to produce an S1 spike protein derived from the virus out of a Wuhan lab, some random spike protein. They are already rewiring people's DNA. And they're talking about how brain hacking has been available for the longest time. They can pass thoughts between people. Who's to say they don't have these technologies in injections? Injecting you with some type of AI nanobots that can self-replicate in the brain and them shooting thoughts directly into your brain from EMF waves so you don't even know if your thoughts are your own. I mean, that's the future we are going to be headed to. They have discussed this for the longest time. That's why I had to play that video, the whole thing, because I was blown away. If they're admitting they have this technology and it was worked on years back, they're also admitting that they want to covertly inject you with whatever they want. I mean, who's to say? Maybe it's better for society, like they said in that article, because homicide rates will go right down. You won't have any of your own thoughts. But how would this benefit the devil himself. It's like the devil is trying to bring hell literally onto earth, because free will is important. You pick the wrong things in life, you do the wrong things out of your own free will, and you go into a place called hell for an eternity. Is that the case? Because if this technology was injected in everyone, how would that benefit the devil? Or is the devil himself trying to bring hell onto earth by connecting all of these humans into a hive mind and living for an eternity here as mindless cyborgs? Is that the future of humanity? So China, people, is under another lockdown. 9 million to 17 million, some reports are saying, under another lockdown because of rising case rates on the now proven and confirmed fraudulent PCR test. People always said this isn't about health, it's about control. Now I know what that fully entails. Through constant implementing of nonsensical rules, people are being conditioned into a new abnormal. China has always been the model of the New World Order. The people there have become a docile population, following orders without question. This was done through years of training and manipulation. Now I see this happening in Western nations. Baby steps to totalitarianism. It starts with something small like masks. This meme says it all. You can use anything as a mask because it's not about safety, it's about compliance. Just cover your face because we said so. Doesn't matter what you use, cover your face. That tells you a lot right there. It has nothing to do with health, has all to do with control. Vaccine maker stocks rise as China battles worst COVID outbreak since 2020. Shares of Moderna, BioNTech, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson rose on Monday as China battles its worst COVID outbreak in 2 years. This is insane stuff. Vaccine makers will continue to trade on global fears of more waves. All of these leftist propaganda outlets are now saying stuff like this. This is wild stuff. As you can see, Moderna stock jumped 8%, BioNTech soared 12%, Pfizer jumped 4%, all when this took place in China. More right here. China's COVID spike worsens. Dongguan factory center locks down new cases top 3,500 nationwide. This was done March 15th. We can expect this to happen here as well because China is the model of the New World Order. Now we see Fauci coming out and saying, prepare for another lockdown. We're having people here in Canada, our public health officials, politicians are saying, oh, we should get ready because there's new variants out there coming. As you can see here, folks, new COVID-19 subvariant could cause a sixth wave in Alberta by May. Unbelievable. Another one, people, Deltacron variant dashes hopes we're past worst of pandemic. You know, they're setting up for what's happening in China. That's going to happen here soon. And they're already laying out the groundwork for you. So we got WHO now tracking hybrid COVID-19 variant Deltacron. Another word for it or name, BA2 makes up 23.1% of all U.S. COVID-19 variants. Unbelievable that people are falling for this total BS. So think about this. Pfizer and Moderna stock going up when all these new cases came about in China. Well, who owns the most shares in both these companies? Same two financial investor mega corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard. In other words, positive PCR test equals BlackRock and Vanguard gets richer. In other words, more cases, we get closer to the 2028 goal of these two mega corporations owning almost everything, and some articles saying owning everything. As you can see here, remember when they changed the title on this? Oh yeah, will BlackRock and Vanguard own everything by 2028? That was the original title of the article. You click on it and this is the new title because I guess the original title was freaking people out. And they have stuff like this. Only two companies, Vanguard and BlackRock, control the planet while the world's richest 1% own 82% of the world's wealth. And it's only going to get worse because of these rising case rates, which boosts up all of the stock of these vaccine companies. Isn't that interesting how that works? You know, this is all getting us closer to that 2030 agenda, isn't it? You will own nothing, and after the CRISPR tech rewires your brain, you will be a happy, dumbed-down cyborg incapable of critical thinking skills, following orders without question. And that's exactly what we see in China. They don't want you to question anything. They want you to hear the word variant and immediately mask up and come test, just to rewire your brain into becoming an obedient citizen. It has nothing to do with health. As long as they can get you to wear a mask anytime they tell you to, start testing anytime they say, you will slowly become the perfect role model citizen of the New World Order, exactly as the Chinese citizens are. The way they can lock down 17 million people just off a few case rates is a dream for these globalists. And that same thing is going to happen around the world. A lot of people are saying, absolutely not, won't put up with a second lockdown. Well, we put up with this much BS already. And remember, the majority of people are sheep. They're going to lead us right into the slaughterhouse because they're so obedient and follow rules without question. Is the COVID narrative over, folks? Are new variants on the horizon? Well, here's an article from News Nation Now. Austria just reintroduced mask mandates just 2 weeks after the requirement was abolished. I mean, how insane is this? It's almost like the media only used Russia and Ukraine for a certain amount of time just to get people's minds off of what happened the last 2 years and the Pfizer data that was released exposing this depopulation agenda. And as people forgot about everything that took place, they can bring back these mask mandates and people just will go right along with it and accept it. If people accept this new lockdown that's going to take place, if people just start wearing their masks again because the government said so, if they issue a fourth or fifth booster shot and everyone gets it and then tie it into their vaccine passport and bring back the vaccine passports to enter businesses again, I think it's over, folks. I mean, really, I really feel like it is over for us as a species. We are finished at that point. We cannot allow that to take place because they're going to know 100% for sure we have become obedient and docile. We are willing to put up with anything. CRISPR tech rewiring our DNA from that point on, and they will just kill us, dumb us down in a multitude of ways. I told people not to get their hopes up because in every speech we heard from public health officials around the world, they always slipped in that caveat. It's all dependent on case rates, which are, remember, 100% all false because the PCR test is not checking for a virus. If you don't understand this, please watch Dr. Sam Bailey's new video on viruses. Please, people, this is a must-watch video. It's on Dr. Sam Bailey's channel, The Truth About Viruses. You need to watch this to understand germ theory is a fraud. If we don't expose that, we are going to be susceptible to never-ending plandemics. They're just going to say a new virus is out there. PCR test is checking for genetic sequences that make up the virus, they say, and people are going to keep testing positive and positive. They're going to say, oh, now everyone has HIV. It's airborne. They can do that as long as people believe this virus narrative that is based on a foundation of lies, based on a fraudulent medical field like virology, because it all stems from virus isolation. Sam Bailey lays it out here in the most impeccable of ways here. It's a 17-minute video. I don't want to play the whole thing. But please, people, if you want to know about viruses and the fraud behind viruses, this is a must-watch video.
What is a virus? The word virus derives from the Latin word virus, which simply means poison. So viruses are supposed to be bad guys. A virus is a tiny intracellular particle that infects and replicates inside a host cell to cause disease. Don't be fooled by anything less, otherwise we're not really talking about viruses. Like unicorns, many people talk about viruses, but no one has ever seen one in nature. There are sick people. There are times when people in one area get sick together. There are tiny particles everywhere. There are images of cells breaking down and vesicles. There are indirect techniques like the PCR and genomic sequencing. None of these things require the existence of viruses. Let's find out why. Viruses are part of the human imagination.
It's a dream, baby.
What's making me sick then? This is a sick person. His doctor doesn't know what is wrong with him, so says it is a viral illness. The doctor was told by another doctor that people who are sick in this way have a viral illness. No viruses have ever been found in a person who is sick in this way, but appointment times are short and people need to be paid. This is people getting sick together simultaneously. Due to indoctrination and groupthink, many people believe that the only way this can happen is if a virus is passing between them. Many people got sick together in Chernobyl in 1986, and no, it wasn't a radioactive virus. There are many common factors that people in one place can share, such as the same water and food sources, the same air quality, similar sun exposure and vitamin D levels, shared psychological stressors, changes in atmospheric conditions, and forces that we don't understand. However, talking about such things could get you investigated by the authorities or your research funding cut. Some people seem to think that this is conclusive evidence that viruses do indeed exist.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
You fool! Don't you know they can grow viruses? When you've spent decades looking for viruses in people but can't find any, it's not a good look. Virologists needed to come up with something to show the audience. The electron microscope came into play in the 1930s, but direct visualization of any virus from a human was elusive. Then in 1954, renowned magicians John Enders and Peebles suggested that they had grown the measles virus in their lab. Let's have a look at their magic show by pulling back the curtains. First, they tried to produce alleged viruses from human lung cells, but nothing happened. Human intestinal cells, nothing. Human uterus cells, nothing. Human skin cells, nothing. Human muscle cells, nothing. Monkey nut cells, nothing. Human foreskin cells, nothing. Embryonic chicken cells, nothing. Things were not looking good, but then at last there was some action in the test tube with human kidney cells and rhesus monkey kidney cells. Now, measles are supposed to affect the respiratory tract in humans, but they had to jump organs, and then species to produce the now famous cytopathic effect. So how did the trick work? The patient samples were either blood or throat swabs immersed in cow's milk, then poisoned with penicillin and streptomycin. To the mix was added bovine amniotic fluid, beef embryo extract, horse serum, unspecified antibiotics, probably more penicillin and streptomycin based on Ender's previous chemistry experiments, and phenol red. The safari soup was then passaged, which means removing some of the cells and putting them into a fresh culture mix. This is another way to stress the cells. And the more it is done, the more it diverts from anything resembling what happens in nature. If the cells don't break down the first time, simply passage and poison until you see the desired results. Amazingly, this multi-stage toxic assault on the cells made some of them sick and looked a bit odd under the microscope. To make these slides, they added formalin to the sample, then ethanol and ether, stained it with hematoxylin and eosin, and then washed it with 95% alcohol and oil, and topped it off with xylene.
That'll do, Pig.
All perfectly natural, of course. And jackpot, said the virus hunters. This munted tissue is the work of a virus. It's a bit like detonating an atomic bomb and claiming that the subsequent crop failure appears to be due to pestilence. With a quick sleight of hand, the word isolation was inserted into Ender's paper, and because it wasn't being done according to the scientific method, there was no control experiment. The wheels fall off Koch's postulates. Wait, the fact checkers say that Koch's postulates don't apply to viruses. That's because the invention of the electron microscope revealed that the alleged viruses couldn't be seen in the person, no matter how sick they were. However, why don't they purify what are claimed to be viruses in the lab and see if the particles by themselves can infect a host and cause disease? The PCR can't prove viruses exist. Fredrickson-Relman's paper could be considered a sign that virology was in trouble again at the end of the 20th century, because nobody could find actual viruses by their true definition. They resorted to even more indirect measures, that is, by techniques that alleged to detect some part or consequence of the invisible particle. The polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, is a manufacturing process that massively amplifies selected genetic fragments. It's like a copying machine. However, when you take some snot from someone's nose and apply the PCR, it does not tell you the origins of the genetic material, whether a postulated germ even exists, or the relevance of its detection. In other words, it doesn't tell you that you are sick or infected.
Then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it just to claim that it's meaningful. PCR is separate from that. It's just a process that's used to make a whole lot of something out of something. That's what
also,
it is. But it's not, it doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
They'll try to tell you that a positive result at a certain number of PCR cycles means that you've got a disease.
Kristen Drosten.
The same disease that some goats, jackfruit, motor oil, and water can be afflicted with too, apparently. Keep in mind that the PCR has a habit of creating epidemics out of thin air, even when a bacterium is falsely blamed as the baddie, as was seen with the false whooping cough epidemic in 2006. Some people have worked out for themselves that if you're in peak physical condition and testing positive, something might be amiss with the PCR. The inventor of the technique, Carrie Mullis, was right about the limitations of the PCR and its potential misinterpretations. However, today's hucksters continue to botch the application of the PCR regardless of whether you believe in viruses or not.
That needed to be played, folks. I had to play that just so you know how fraudulent this PCR test is, and the fact that they have not proven that this virus exists at all. And people are so full of emotion that it's difficult to argue with people that are just like, my father died of COVID. It's real. And it's just like, how do you even argue with someone that's this emotional about it, right? It's like, how do you know he had it? Well, he tested positive on the PCR. Like, they have zero idea, zero clue about what's taking place. You know, they have no idea. We are being enslaved by this fraudulent PCR test. As you can see in China, they're testing people on the street, few cases, 17 million lockdown. That's how they're doing it. And that's what's eventually going to take place here. They're just seeing how much they can get away with by telling you to wear your mask. Everyone does. By telling you to get your third shot. Most people do. That tells them something. That tells them they're going to keep moving forward until we finally lose it, which I don't think the majority of people will do. I think they're sheep and stupid, easily programmed. Right now, they're all about Ukraine until that's not talked about anymore. And then we're back onto a new variant called Deltacron and everyone needs to mask up again. They will do that. Their personalities and identities are not their own. It's just programmed into them by this propaganda mainstream news BS. So we can expect it to get worse in the fall. Okay, they're going to use Deltacron or some other variant, and they're going to bring back these restrictions. And if we allow that as a people, it is over, folks. That's it. Like, it gives them a green light to just flat out make vaccines mandatory because they are not questioning anything. Now, because we're not exposing germ theory as a fraud, they will forever use it as a means of control and further depopulate with more poison death shots. More articles here saying new subvariant in Alberta can increase case rates by May. Let that sink in. You ask yourself, who's falling for this nonsensical propaganda BS? Well, let's look at the top comments here on FB. I had to go through some of these comments. It is just outrageous. As you can see here, Narc City Canada posted this. New COVID subvariant. It's going to give you the new sixth wave in Alberta by May. May. Interesting how they would know that, right? We will get to these numbers. There's no reason to think that we won't. Wow, that's a direct threat. Let's go through the comments, shall we? Just look at this. How does this woman have so many likes on her comment? This is what happens when you have premiers that lift all COVID-19 restrictions mandated too fast in their provinces. Unbelievable. Look at these people. Tanya King responds with, especially those provinces with lower immunization and compliance rates. This is what we're dealing with here. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of likes here. You know, it's wild that these are the people that are leaving us enslaved. It's not just the people that wrote down the plan. It's the mindless idiots that go along with this. They're the ones leading us into a slaughterhouse. And it's difficult to stop this from taking place because the majority of people will literally try killing you to protect that narrative. because it's become a cult, because it's given their life meaning. It's really all they have. Don't you dare lift these mask mandates. You see these protesters going out, bring back mask mandates. Just beyond ridiculous. You know, this is the kind of insanity we got to be dealing with. We are not just being terrorized by globalist occupiers hell-bent on depopulating the earth, but we're also being held hostage by the majority of sheep that refuse to wake up. Their blind obedience is forcing the rest of us into a society where we are stripped of our basic freedoms like bodily autonomy. A society where medical fascism rules every aspect of our lives, and every aspect of our lives are controlled under the guise of keeping you safe. It was always about that. This way people can take that narrative and then virtue signal about it. The government has been doing this consistently and realized that people are desperate to be a part of something, whether it's Black Lives Matter, it used to be George Floyd. People just jumped on the bandwagon, posted up black squares on their Instagram, and that tells the elite something. People love being a part of something. They make it their cult. They make it their new religion. They do this with everything the mainstream media puts out. And then it was COVID, and now we're seeing the same thing happen. And then it's Ukraine, and now everyone's hell-bent on defending Ukraine, but they definitely won't go there and fight because these soy boys are not ready for a real war. That's for damn sure. But we're watching people be programmed left and right, and it's so insane to watch when you've become hyper-aware to it. And you're just watching the news like, there's no way people are going to fall for this one. Please, there's no way they're going to fall for Deltacron. And then you walk through the grocery store here in Vancouver and you're like overhearing people, you know, Deltacron is coming and they're saying it's very dangerous. I really hope I get my child the fifth shot. You're like, whoa, you know, I need to get out of here. I need to get the hell out of here because these are the people that are going to lead us into the hellfire. Okay. These are the people that are just blindly following orders. I can't even wrap my head around it. If Bonnie Henry comes back and says, look, we're bringing back these restrictions, I'm going to stop this podcast and just go live off grid. I am done with this clown leftist society full of sheep. But the mainstream news is interviewing people that are compensated by these billion-dollar corporations. It's insane. You know, you see it on Fox News or CNN, it doesn't matter what mainstream news network it is, Global News, CTV News, you know, these people are literally given money to go on cable news and promote either the wars or vaccines. And they're funded by these mega corporations. I saw a woman on Fox News being interviewed the other day saying, we need to go into Ukraine ASAP. No, she was just like really adamant about it. She wanted to go to war right away. I was like, what the hell is going on here? A lot of these times you follow the money and who's funding these people. It's like they're funded by the same defense contractors that work for the Pentagon, right? It's so insane. And it's the same thing. If you see a clown on, in a lab coat on TV promoting the vaccines, you can guarantee he's funded by these same corporations, right? Pfizer and Moderna is funding him to say this stuff. And if people are promoting war, they're funded by the same people that are making the weapons. It's like, it's so insane. These interviews are structured like this for a reason. The propaganda was always in your face. Now the awake are hyper aware to it. And who is scheduling these interviews on the mainstream news networks, right? Because who owns the mainstream news networks? The same people, BlackRock and Vanguard. You know, it's the same people all the time. And they're setting up these interviews this way on the MSN. Like I said, there was war propaganda for the longest time. As you can see, remember the good old days when invading a country was cool because America was doing it? American bombs make Iraq stronger. 1998, December 20th on the New York Times, the Washington Post. In the long run, wars make us safer and richer. The Economist, a heart-rending but necessary war. The New York Times, a merciful war, right? 2002. It never ends. It really never ends. They are just making money off of it, so they're going to push any propaganda they want on the same media networks that they themselves own. And they're also making money off the vaccines and the bombs and the weapons. So now you know why someone that's pro-war is scheduled to be on CNN or Fox News. And they're like, we need to go to war right now. You know, it's just brainwashing the people, whether it's about vaccines or weapons. The same thing happens over and over again. Ukraine and Russia. I mean, think about it. We're debating the wrong thing here. Another big news issue to divide the people. COVID caused the vax and anti-vax debate and polarized the people. Russia and Ukraine is happening as well, with just enough facts on each narrative to make either argument sound credible. This is how they design the left and right paradigm. It's meant to bring people into this rabbit hole of arguing these made up facts done by the same people that are in charge. So you're literally arguing made up propaganda points on either side. Doesn't matter what it is. Russia and Ukraine has just enough facts on each narrative to make either argument sound credible. Another major distraction from the real issues at hand. Who are the puppet masters pulling the strings? People are either defending Putin or Zelensky. Mainstream propaganda. I thought this was just a meme, you know, Putin's price hike, except it's as real as the gas price is going up. There was that meme of all these NPC mainstream news networks saying Putin's price hike, Putin's price hike. I'm like, that's a funny meme because that's something they would do. This meme right here, it's kind of funny. Putin's price hike, all of the same mainstream news networks saying that. I thought it was just a meme, folks. And then I saw a compilation of them actually saying this. This is absolutely wild.
Can we have an honest conversation about gas prices? Because too much of the U.S. media chatter is distorted to the point of being dishonest.
Higher gas prices is a small sacrifice to make.
Many politicians act as though it's President Biden who caused inflation and that he can fix this.
No, I mean, you know, he did not cause the war, which caused prices to surge.
And you heard the President of the United States going to say Putin's price hike.
Putin's price hike.
A Putin price hike.
Putin's price hike.
And Putin's price hike is a great way to message it.
You know, you just can't make it up. This is how they program these thoughts into people. No, it wasn't the lockdowns and the infinite money printing that totally destroyed the economy and is going to collapse the US dollar. It's definitely not that. No, everything is blamed on Putin now. Perfect timing, right? I seen a meme the other day. It was a dog taking a shit in the hallway. And the dog's like, Putin took a shit in the hallway. That's what we're headed to. Everything is going to be blamed on Putin at the perfect time. It's now virtue signaling to pay more money at the gas pump, right? Now it's another thing to virtue signal about, right? I'm proud of paying more because it comes with a clear conscience. It is all absolutely insane. And now we're seeing more and more excuses about brain shrinkage done by these vaccines. They're saying alcohol is the real thing doing it, you know? Even two beers can shrink the brain. That's right. Now we know the vaccines cause accelerated natural death, which also causes aging of the brain. Some people are reporting Alzheimer's cases in people that are really young. Hasn't happened in history before. We're talking about 40-year-olds with Alzheimer's symptoms because of the brain shrinkage. So a lot of people are now being affected neurologically because of these vaccines. And now we're going to see endless articles about why the brain is shrinking. Oh, it's really from the alcohol. It's because of too much stress. Your brain is shrinking. You know, really is never ending here. These shots seem to have weakened people's hearts. I mean, people are having heart attacks over minor activities like shoveling snow and what else is there? You know, we've seen endless articles like this. It's almost like they weaken people's hearts with these Depop poison clot shots. And then they push Ukraine, Russia propaganda 24/7 to give the vaccinated people heart attacks. I mean, over the stress itself. I mean, what's more stressful than the possibility of a world war coming soon? I've seen a funny meme that said Russia is causing myocarditis. Well, I guess there's some truth to that because a lot of these people have weakened hearts now because of myocarditis, and over the most basic exercise, they can just drop. And some people don't have any symptoms of this myocarditis, and whenever they're really affected by it, they'll just drop dead. A lot of people, you know, this is happening to. That's one of the worst things about myocarditis. It's like a silent killer. Look at all of the insanity taking place here. Hong Kong storing bodies in shipping containers amid Omicron surge. This is a wild video. It is mind-boggling to see this video, people. I'm at a loss for words. Just look at what they're putting people into. Look at these small containers. This is where they keep people that are positive for this new variant. And they're saying all these people are dying, so they have to move them from these little jail cells container-like jail cells from there into these big containers, shipping containers you see at the beginning. The propaganda is relentless coming out of China right now. And at least they're trying with their propaganda, you know? Like, they're trying to scare people in China with this propaganda. Our media doesn't even try to scare us anymore. Like, if they really tried to scare people into getting injected or getting these Depop shots, they would show bodies piled on top of each other, you know, propaganda like this out of Hong Kong, storing bodies in shipping containers. But they don't even do that here. They're just like, yeah, new variant, get your booster and mask up, and people just do it, you know? Like, they're not even trying anymore with the propaganda, people. At least the Chinese are trying. They're trying really hard with the propaganda. They're showing, like, bodies piled on top of one another, as you can see here in this picture, you know? They're really trying. But look at how outrageous this is. I think China is just getting rid of their unworthy citizens. I think they're forcing those positive test results, sending them into these little jail cells, killing them there, then moving their bodies into the shipping containers and saying, oh yeah, they died of the new Deltacron variant. Which, remember, the world is going to go along with this same model. I truly believe that if we allow them to get away with these new lockdowns, this is where we're going to be headed. So Zelensky, folks, is the ultimate crisis actor. I mean, he's trying his hardest to bait nations into joining the war, which it seems like NATO wants no parts in, but Zelensky keeps trying. He was addressing the Canadian Parliament in a speech saying, how would you feel if Vancouver and Toronto were bombed? You know, he reeks of desperation, a puppet put in place to drag the world into another world war. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaked something out from those bio labs himself. The elite's doing this because that's who he works for, right? The same people. Killing millions and blaming Russians. You know, something like that could take place. Maybe a false flag done in one of the neighboring countries, the NATO countries, and that will drag everyone into a world war. I was, you know, listening to a lot of NATO leaders and even Biden himself's like, oh no, we're not going to issue a no-fly zone. We're not going to put troops on the ground over there because that would mean World War III. And NATO, a lot of people in NATO said this as well. And what I'm seeing here is a direct correlation by how they say things like, oh, we would never do something like that. And then they'll end up doing it, which gives people the illusion that they were debating this issue. Like, they weren't going to do it, but then they did because it was reactionary to a big situation or incident that happened. Just like the vaccine passports. Oh, we would never do something like that. That's insane. And then they do it. Well, you know, based on the case rates, we have to get it done now. Like, they were going to do it anyway, but they give you this illusion that they are discussing it and every action they do is actually reactionary to a big incident that took place. Now we're seeing it with this war in the Ukraine. Everyone's like, oh no, we're not going to issue a no-fly zone. Well, until there's a major false flag and Biden comes out and is like, no, now we have to. I mean, there's no other option here. But don't get it twisted, folks. The Russian-Ukraine war is another chapter in this Great Reset. Ukraine is now used as a beta test for new technology that will be brought into the world to further enslave humanity under a digital dictatorship. Biometric data is being given to Ukraine from Clearview AI so that Ukrainians can help identify their enemies and even the dead. As you can see here, Clearview AI makes face biometrics service available to Ukraine Ministry of Defense. Database holds 2 billion images from Russian social media. Biometric data being collected. And at the same time this war is taking place, they're bringing forth this new technology. Remember, a big global emergency requires that. That's how they usher in the digital currency, the digital ID, social credit score, because they have to. Because anyone that backs up Putin is a dangerous citizen and needs to be tracked and traced. So now we're seeing stuff like this take place. And they also have drones flying above people, watching their faces, you know, testing their facial recognition technology. And those same drones can be kamikaze drones, as you see here. US adds kamikaze drones as more weapons flow to Ukraine. So these kamikaze drones can probably use their facial tracking technology and see that you are a unworthy citizen with a low social credit score and just fly right into your head, exploding on impact. And that is the future we are going to be headed to with these kamikaze drones tied into the biometric data being collected. I mean, this is just wild. All this new technology is coming out. Sleepwalking into a China style social credit system, written by Kara Frederick. While the world fixates on Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a huge threat is gathering here at home. As Canada demonstrated, Western governments and tech companies are mobilizing to cut off mainstream citizens from public life and constrain their private lives. Actions like protesting government overreach, expressing anti-authority ideologies, or even sharing disinformation on social media may now be classified as terrorism. This is all typical of totalitarian regimes, which aim to bring all aspects of society under the control of an ideology. A totalitarian state aspires to nothing less than defining and controlling reality. We must immediately arrest this momentum towards a social credit system of our own. Otherwise, we risk mirroring China, where the integration of public and private spheres has created the most efficient tech-enabled totalitarianism known to man, all aimed at social control, all under the guise of trying to help. In the United States, the increasingly oppressive collaboration between public and private entities is not enforced at the barrel of a gun. It arises from an ideological symbiosis between tech incumbents and government officials. This has allowed governments to successfully encourage tech companies to help police the discourse of ordinary Americans. For example, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki admitted in July that the White House works with Facebook to monitor and police speech, and later insisted that other social media platforms should be doing more of the same. What did you look at that? Ties into the LifeLog project the Pentagon was working on, huh? Homeland Security Secretary indicated his organization was working with tech companies to strengthen legitimate use of private platforms. Twitter reportedly deferred to the California Secretary of State's office when flagging and scrutinizing questions surrounding the 2020 election and criticism of President Biden. These tech companies, which control the rails of communication upon which many Americans and billions around the world rely, monitor viewpoints to see whether they conform to leftist politicians' version of reality. If it's a ruling class narrative, tech companies defend it. If it departs from the approved line by suggesting the possibility of a coronavirus lab leak, repeating the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop, or rejecting the existence of biological differences between men and women, it is suppressed. The ideological collaborations goes far beyond social media censorship. The Chinese system of blacklists ultimately limits job advancements, real estate purchases, travel ability to get a loan, and more. In the West, censorship measures have extended to online banking, web hosting, and email delivery service. Look, people, they banned me from PayPal. Unbelievable. GoFundMe, yeah, that happened as well with the trucker convoy. Buckling to pressure from the Canadian government and Ottawa police froze millions of dollars meant for the Canadian Freedom Convoy. Other companies like Airbnb, PayPal, Stripe, MailChimp, and GoDaddy, I've never heard of that, GoDaddy, continue to purge accounts to the right of center, up and down the digital stack. Such expansive vulnerability engenders self-censorship. Americans are learning the hard way that they risk their ability to support charities, rent homes, fundraise online, bank, and even earn a living should they dissent from the prevailing leftist orthodoxy enforced by the government and private companies working hand in glove. And we are in uncharted territory when one market-dominant company, or multiple companies within a specific market, decides it's better to go along with the preferences of the government than side with individual citizens. It leaves those individuals with nowhere else to go. What comes next, people? We are on the slippery slope to social credit score, where wrong think leads to undesirable consequences. Will your individual climate compliance score be satisfactory? Wow. Suppose you use too much heat this winter. Sorry, can't get a bank loan to buy that new house. Pump too much gas for your family's road trip? Apologies, no airline tickets for you next summer. Americans must recognize what is happening and combat it more effectively. We do not take strong measures to respond to this new singular problem, which is as much a political, cultural, and moral issue as the economic one. Then we forfeit our ability to govern ourselves. We are building our own digital dictatorship under this technocratic slavery system, and we're going to live in our own digital prison pretty soon. And it's all because of the mindless idiots that just follow orders without question. In Ukraine, an heir of social credit with the DIA application, March 17th, 2022. As you can see, Ukraine is now the beta test for this new technology. Ukraine is a champion of digital identity with the Dia app. This has been mentioned for a long time, then precipitated by the COVID crisis. Governments want to move towards digitization of everyday life by bringing together almost all services on the telephone. While the European Union had announced a test to digitize the vaccine record, wallet, and identities in 2018. Interesting. Ukraine was very quick to react with a DIIA application deployed by the government there almost 2 years ago. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And now it's being rolled out for all the citizens out there while people focus their attention on the war itself. Here's another one, moving closer to the Great Reset agenda, folks. On CNN, could Russia's war kickstart a renewable energy revolution? Depends on where in the world you look. Can't get into this article, but it says the New York Times shaming Apple and texting Musk. A Ukraine's minister uses novel war tactics. Mykolo Fedorov, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Ukraine's youngest minister has turned technology, cryptocurrency, and social media into modern weapons of war. But it's all okay because it's against those Russians, of course. He's just fighting those Russians. So all of this new technology, digital slavery system is totally fine because of the Putin threat. You see how that works? Look at this New York Times article here. Your face is or will be your boarding pass. Tech-driven changes are coming fast and furiously to airports, including advancement in biometrics that verify identity and shorten security procedures for those passengers who opt into the programs. Because of a big emergency, they just roll out these new tech. Moving closer to a one-world government, folks. Fireworks lit up the night sky as a ceremony reached its crescendo in Beijing, spelling out the words "one world." Look at that. Isn't that something else? Moving closer and closer to that one world government that Yuval Noah Harari was talking about. Ukraine crisis. Canada dispatches biometric kits to boost refugee processing. And I'm going to end this with this off The Guardian, folks. Before anyone starts romanticizing this Ukraine-Russia war as a struggle against Schwab, globalism, or the Great Reset, just remember, Russia and Putin were and still are 100% selling the phony pandemic narrative, even though they knew as well as anyone in the West it's a lie. Remember that. As you can see here, guys, see Putin? This is Putin, people, with his hazmat suit on. Because that very scary non-existent COVID might get him. I mean, you know, they're all working together, folks. And notice how it all comes together. All the chess pieces were in place for this Great Reset to occur, for this big plandemic to take place. The guy in the background is Jens Stoltenberg, the ex-director of Bill Gates-funded GAVI. He is currently the Secretary General of NATO. Their oligarchy perfectly set like pawns on a chessboard to create their dystopian one-world government. Yep, all of your public health officials, politicians, they've all been paid off and all the pieces were set in place for the perfect timing for this pandemic to take place. And the more you look into it, the more blown away you will be. And that's where I'm going to leave it, folks. I'm going to give you guys an update. I got a call the other day from the company I work for, and they found a site for me. And I was so grateful that they finally found a site. I'm not going to be like full-time. I used to work overtime just to make ends meet. But now I'm going to be working like 36 hours a week, which, you know, calculating how much I'll make, I'll probably be able to pay for rent and whatnot. So that's good. That was really, I'm really grateful for that. It's a site real close by where I live. So I was like, thank God. You know, when I got that call, I was so grateful. So, you know, it all just works out at the end, and it's just enough to help me pay my bills. So I'm very grateful for that. And I will give you guys these podcasts starting next week by Friday or Saturday, probably. I'm not sure, but I've been really busy lately, so I don't have much time to do research and whatnot. But so I will be able to get right back at it next weekend. So you guys prepare to see a podcast either Friday or Saturday. Not sure exactly, but it's one of those days. The podcast is still coming out once a week, so prepare to check that podcast out. What podcast is this? This is podcast number 39, I believe. Yeah, so we are getting up there, people. If you want to support this podcast, links are in the description for it. Donations greatly appreciated. This is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel, signing off.